Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
In Paul's prayer for the Colossian church in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, there are four petitions, four primary petitions. And the last one is buttressed with a lot of reasons for it. So let me go through those very quickly. The first one is that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will. The second, that they may walk worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing Him. The third, that they might be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. And the fourth was that they might give thanks to the Father. And then after this encouragement for the Colossians to render joyful thanks to God, Paul elaborates on a number of reasons why they should do that. And it has to do with salvation. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's in verse 12, and then in verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It is that second reason, or that second perspective on the same reason, which has to do with salvation, that we are examining in Colossians 1:13. Why should we give thanks to God? Because of the great rescue which He has effected in our souls. And so we'll continue looking at that on this Tuesday, November 24, and we are so grateful for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, this reason, or this perspective on the reason, all of the reasons have to do with salvation, different perspectives on that. And this particular perspective pictures salvation as a rescue, as a transfer of kingdoms. And it divides into two very obvious parts. First of all, Paul describes our former condition before we were saved, and secondly, our present condition after we are saved. The first one relates to the power of darkness, the second one into the kingdom of the Son of His love, which in other places he describes as the kingdom of light, in contrast with the kingdom of darkness. The first one we could call our desperate condition, because that's indeed what it is. And the second one, our liberated condition, because that's what happens after the great rescue. We are rescued. We are liberated. We are brought into the realm of peace and joy and fulfillment and eternal salvation. In the realm of darkness, again, verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. We realize that we, before we were rescued, were under the power of a powerful tyrant who is an evil power. Indeed, he is Satan, the god of this world. And we were held under his power, under his sway, not as unwilling captives, but unfortunately as very willing ones, because we, like all men apart from Christ, loved darkness rather than light. And so in the kingdom of darkness, though we were in bondage, though we were enslaved, though we were held captive under this evil power, we didn't view it that way. We rather liked that condition. And would have been happy to stay in that condition if God had not worked in our souls to show us our danger, to convict us of sin, to show us Christ, to give us a desire to be freed from our sin. Would you be freed from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood of the Lamb. And so there we were, which is a true condition of everyone outside of Christ, a desperate condition that we did not fully understand. Living in darkness, but not realizing it. Living in spiritual blindness, but because we are blind, we don't know that we're spiritually blind. Doomed to eternal destruction, but refusing to believe that. That's the way we were. That's the way unconverted people around us are now. They don't believe that, for the most part. But when God invades our soul, we are awakened to flee. Wakened up to flee. And we cry for mercy. And we experience deliverance. Wakened up from wrath to flee. Is our glorious condition and the first part of this great rescue. But now Paul, in just a few words, describes the new condition after we have been rescued. He tells us, having described the darkness, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and here it is, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So what do we say about this new condition? Well, first of all, we were freed by a powerful deliverance. He delivered us. That word means to draw to oneself, to rescue. He delivered us by drawing us to himself. But it is the terminology of warfare. We were rescued by warfare, a great deliverance. In other words, a battle was fought. And King Jesus had to win the battle, which in fact he did. Aren't we grateful? And he never loses. Aren't we grateful for that? But it didn't come easily. It didn't come without conflict. It didn't come without a great battle. The forces of darkness do not like to yield up their citizens to the kingdom of light. Absolutely not. And Satan and his messengers are going to fight with every ounce of their strength to keep every single soul captive until they are doomed to eternal destruction, at which time freedom is no longer possible. But our new condition is that we were freed by a powerful deliverance. He delivered us. He delivered us. We were not only freed by a powerful deliverance, but we were transferred by radical relocation. He delivered us, we read, and conveyed us. In some translations, the word is translated us, which is not a word that we would normally use in this context, but it's a good one. What does it mean to be translated? Well, when we translate a piece of literature from one language into another, we take the words, the message of the old language, and we translate it, we transfer it, we render it into a new language, into a new form. It has connections with what went before, but it is now entirely new. I don't know if you've been involved in any of that, but I have, along the way, in a couple of languages that I studied when I was getting my training. And it's always a great challenge for me. Some people get languages so very easily, but it's a great challenge for me to get to the place in my study of a language where I can actually do some translation, where I can take the look at the page in front of me in a foreign language, and I can translate that into the English that I understand. And of course, in school, you hand it in for a grade to see if you've done it accurately. But it is a transfer. And that's the word that is used in some translations that in my Bible is rendered conveyed. We have been conveyed. He delivered us and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. A word that means brought us, or removed us, or transferred us, or transplanted us are all good synonyms to help describe what's going on here. This is a word that in the Bible is used of relocating a population, as for example in the Babylonian captivity. What happened when the children of Israel were taken from the land of Israel and carried into the land of Canaan? They were brought, they were removed, they were transferred, they were transplanted out of one kingdom into another, out of one country into another, out of one nation into another. Well, that's what God did in salvation. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is what is going on. This is what has gone on. This is why we render thanks to God. It is a reverse exile from darkness and tyranny to light and righteous rule, from slavery to liberty. Most of the time when we're talking about exile, such as the Babylonian captivity, it's the other way around. Those people went from freedom to captivity. They went from liberty to tyranny. They went from their own rule, the rule of their own people, under the domain and the rule of some of a foreigner. This was a negative removal. They were transplanted where they didn't want to go, and where they mourned their condition after it happened. But in the work of salvation, it's just the other way around. Oh yeah, we are plucked up out of the kingdom of darkness that we were perfectly happy with until the light of His glorious gospel shined in our hearts, and then suddenly that made us dissatisfied with it, and we were transplanted into the kingdom of light, and oh, how grateful we are. Now we can understand where we were, what our danger was, what our future was, what the future held for us in that kingdom, and we realize that we have received a great rescue. It is a reverse exile from the kingdom of darkness and tyranny to light and righteous rule. We have been uprooted from one kingdom and transplanted to another. And that is a good description of salvation. Salvation has a lot of different aspects. It's like a diamond, a precious stone. You can take a diamond or some other precious stone that has been cut and polished, and you can hold it up to the light, and it has a wonderful radiant beauty. And then you turn it a little bit, and you see other aspects of the beauty that you didn't see before, and you turn it again, and you keep doing that. You keep seeing different avenues of beauty that you did not see before, and that's the way salvation is. And this is a wonderful perspective, one that we should consider more often, that salvation is a rescue out of a kingdom of darkness and slavery and tyranny into a kingdom of freedom and joy and light and eternal salvation with a wonderful king, a perfect king, King Jesus, in which there is no sin, nothing but love and righteousness. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.